Now, isn't it amazing here in the Bible, in Isaiah 38, the death sentence comes on the king. The prophet goes to the king to inform him that he needs to get his house in order. He needs to make preparation for his family. He needs to make preparation for who's going to be the next king, who's going to follow in line. Whatever decisions need to be made for himself and his family, because he's going to pass from this earth. And then we read where he turns his face to the wall and he weeps and he prays. And to me, it's an amazing prayer. He's asking God to refresh his own memory. He's asking Lord to remember certain things in his life that he did that were right. And he's saying, Lord, you need to refresh your memory. You have blessed me. I've obeyed you. And because of I've obeyed you, I'd really like some more time. And it's an amazing thing to me that on that basis, on that promise, I mean, that he lived a good life with God's hand on him, that it would give him some kind of favor with the Lord. But it did get the Lord's attention, that and the Lord's tears. But it's a prayer for healing. And notice the Lord gives him assurance that his prayer is going to be answered, and he gives him an answer in a miracle as well. Notice verse number 6. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. So not only am I going to spare your life, I'm going to defend Jerusalem against the Assyrian army. And I will defend the city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that thou hast spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, so the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. The writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And I said, in the cutting off of my days I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. And the rest is the prayer of King Hezekiah. But this book, this chapter is being written in the time of the time of the kings of Israel. And it's a very unusual prayer that calls on God to remember. As if God needs to be reminded. But in any event, it's on that basis, that in the tears of the king, that get the attention of God and grants his request, as miraculous as it is. But because of who is praying, it moves the heart of God.
Amen.
Well, we should want our prayers to move the heart of God. Amen? Amen? Living a life that pleases the Lord can grant special favors. Hezekiah proves this to us tonight. He reminds us that obeying the Lord allows us to be granted special favors. We're going to examine this story tonight. First of all, his condition was real. It was not a sickness of the mind, Brother Tony. It was not a sickness of being psychosomatic. It was real physical illness. Now, fear can increase your heart rate. Fear can put knots in your stomach. Fear can cause rapid breathing and sweating. It can increase nervousness. It releases adrenaline to the blood system. The mind can affect the body physically. There's no doubt about that. But his condition was not a result of his mind, but his condition was literally physical, unto death. The Bible says, sick unto death. His appointed time had come. It's interesting when Jesus, before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said to his followers that Lazarus is asleep and his sickness is not unto death. Even though he was in the ground 2 days already, but The Lord raised him up out of that grave. There are many sicknesses in life that are unto death. Matter of fact, it's the natural cause of leaving this world. Recently I was asked if my parents were living. I said, no, they both passed. And they said, what was the cause of death? I said, natural. That's just the way it is. No matter if it was the heart or something else, we all leave this world sooner or later. And there are many sicknesses in this life, though, that are not unto death. And when we find ourselves ill, we can still use our time wisely. But here the king hears news he didn't want to hear. He loved the prophet Isaiah. They were good friends. And yet the prophet comes to his sickbed and he says, time is running out, Hezekiah. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. You know you're sick when the preacher's at your bedside and he's not smiling. Amen? Now, I probably visited a bunch of you when you were sick. And have you recall that I visited you when you're sick? Can I see your hand? Say, I'll see your hand. All right. I try to smile when you're sick. I try to come and see you and smile. Isaiah was not smiling here. He had to deliver some very hard news. Occasionally, a pastor has to deliver that news to a loved one. I had once a doctor came to me and said, Pastor, would you tell the family that their loved one has passed away? This was the emergency room, waiting room. And that was my introduction to the ministry. That was like my first week on the job. And I thought, you know, Lord, this job is going to have a lot of mountaintops and valleys. And I had to break the news to about 10 people in the waiting room. And all I could recall, I was praying for wisdom and sincerity, and I said, is the family of Mr. So-and-so here? And about six people jumped to their feet. And all I could think of is to say it quick. I said, I'm sorry, your loved one has passed away. Bam, it's just that quick. And the father of the family tried to comfort and console everyone else in the family. He says, all right, come on, let's go see him. Let's go see him. What seemed important in death, in death's hour, to Hezekiah is really true of all of us. He still had God on his side. Amen? Amen? And that's comforting to know that the one who's walked by our side all through our life also will be with us at that last moment. Amen? He will go with us through death. And Hezekiah still had his God, and he still believed in prayer. Aren't you glad that God never disowns his children? Amen? Amen. He keeps them all. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And as long as there's life, there's hope. Despair is the opposite of hope. Hope comes from a Hebrew word, Yashal, that means trust. The psalmist said, let Israel trust in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Let Israel Yashal in the Lord. We can always trust in the Lord. There are times when people let you down. There's times when co-workers may let you down. There's times when neighbors may let you down. There are times when relatives may let you down. But you can always trust in the Lord. Hezekiah had something else that some of you may have tonight. Some of you may not have what he had. But he had a good record. And he's appealing to God on the record of his faithfulness, which to me is pretty amazing. He's trying to get God to remember the times that he obeyed him, and on that basis, he's praying his heart out that God would grant him more time. And so the king of Israel is pleading with the Lord on the merits of his life of obedience. In chapter 38, in verse number 3, he says, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee. Here the king of Judah is saying, Lord, I have tried to follow the path that you gave me. You know it's been a difficult road. I have done my best. I brought the reforms that you asked me to. We've tore down the idol worshippers. We've tore down the places where people worship idols. And he's talking to God about all the things that he did that was right. And on that basis, he's pleading and shedding tears for the Lord to heal him. I'm glad that tears are a language that God understands. Amen?
Amen.
All of our tears get God's notice on this earth. Wherever there's misery tonight and tears, I'm telling you, the Lord is not very far away from those that weep. Hezekiah says, I have done that. And he's recalling all that he has done, his works. Oh, some believers would have a hard time praying on that basis. Their faithfulness. But King Hezekiah could. And we're told in the Bible that it moved God in verses 5 and 6. Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord. Isaiah leaves the deathbed of Hezekiah. He delivers the sad news to his good friend, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're passing from this life. He turns to walk outside of the palace. And he doesn't get too far when the Lord taps him on the shoulder and says, Isaiah, go back to the king. I've got a new message for you. Tell him it's going to be okay. And I'm going to give him a sign to show that I will indeed answer his prayer. That sundial is going to be turned back 10 degrees. Now that's quite a miracle. Indeed it is. Sundials don't go backwards. They always go in one way all the time, every day. But Isaiah says to Hezekiah, God has answered your prayer. He has heard. He's seen your tears. He's going to answer your request. And the result is you're going to get 15 more years of life. Use them wisely. 15 years, that's a lot for a sick man. To get better and to live better. Amen? Not only that, Isaiah, you don't have to worry about Jerusalem being destroyed by the enemy. I'm going to take care of that for my people. You don't have to lift a finger. Your armies don't have to do anything. I'll do it all by myself. And judgment was put off for a time.
Amen.
The city was defended by God. Anybody see the Bible on the Discovery Channel, parts 1 and 2. Isn't that pretty amazing? You see when Jericho, the walls came down? I love those special effects. It had to be something kind of like that. Amen? Our God can do amazing things. It shouldn't amaze us, but it is amazing. And God gives Hezekiah a sign for him not to worry. A miracle concerning light on a particular sundial that he was aware of. And at the prayer of Hezekiah in a particular place, the sundial, the shadows turned back 10 degrees. It may have occurred as a result of a greater light than the sun. The Lord uses the miracle of light in the Old Testament at different times. It might not have been the miracle of the earth's rotation, but it might have been just the miracle of a greater light. In any event, I'll let the theologians argue over how the miracle was done. I just believe it was a miracle. Amen? Plain and simple. Could have been a greater light so that the shadow was cast on the other side of the dial. I don't know. But in any event, it convinced Hezekiah, and his prayer was answered. Because He remembered God in the time of his troubles. You know, we can always pray about everything, can't we? Matter of fact, we're encouraged in the Bible to pray about everything, not to worry about anything. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I suppose if we prayed as much as we should, we'd be happier. We wouldn't be as downcast, wouldn't be as burdened. But here Hezekiah gets a miraculous answer to prayer for his healing, and the city of Jerusalem is defended by God. God delivers in a miraculous way. And Hezekiah, unfortunately, his life doesn't end up like we would like to hear about. He did not continue his faithfulness to God. As a matter of fact, when the Babylonian armies came to look at his city, he invited them to come in and to see his palace and his house and his wealth and his treasures. And instead of telling them about God, that Israel's power was in God, he showed them his wealth. He showed them his military power. And because of his pride, we know the story about Babylon. And we know the story how that Judah fell to the Babylonian armies and were taken away into captivity. But in this instance, Hezekiah had a miraculous answer to his prayers. And it's recorded in the Bible for us. You know, I wish we'd have more people come out on Wednesday nights and pray. I think it would be a wonderful thing to see people out here on Wednesday night praying. Jesus said, "My house shall be called the house of prayer." Praying's important. I know you can pray anywhere at any time. And I'm glad about that. And I know that sometimes that some folks just can't make it on Wednesday night. I understand that. But prayer is so important in our lives. It's the first thing we should think of when things go against us. Whether it be health issues or problems in the home, problems in the family, we should go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? Amen. You know, I think tonight, it's a special night. We have a special dinner tonight. But if you'll forgive me, I'd like us tonight to just make believe it's Wednesday night. I'm going to get you here anyway. And we're going to break up into little groups of twos and threes, or if you like to pray by yourself, we'll have a prayer meeting tonight before we go to the dinner, all right? And you can share a request with someone with you. Maybe you'd like to pray with someone you've never prayed before, or just pray with the family. Or alone. But if any men would like to pray, we can meet up here like we normally do on Wednesday. All right? And then when we're done, we'll go downstairs and have a nice meal together. All right? God bless you.